Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And a good Monday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Enjoyed the weather. Hope all you moms had a very, very special day yesterday on Mother's Day, and we've got a great show for you starting today, starting off a new week. Yes, here in, gosh, it's going to be mid-May. It's May 11th. Hard to believe, and we'll wonder if today or this week is a week where maybe more news comes out about some maybe upcoming sports trying to get back onto their playing surface. Darren McFarland down here in Rutherford County in Smyrna. Willie Donick has been hanging in East Nashville for now 2 months. Chase McCabe in Bellevue on the west side. And Marquise Munson over at 1824 Murfreesboro Pike there at our Wholesale Link Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Gentlemen, how you doing?
Good morning. Beautiful day. Wow, what amazing weather we had this weekend. I felt like we all moved up to Maine or something.
It was fantastic. Saturday, not too hot, not too cold. Did a little work on the baseball field, and it was, I mean, it felt like we were in San Diego. It was just perfect.
What'd you do to it? Did you move some dirt around and, like, work on the pitching mound? Or what'd you do?
We did a little infield, we did a little outfield, and we did some hitting. Oh, yeah.
That kind of work.
Did some work.
I thought you meant, like, work on,
no,
you know, on the field itself.
No.
Like, that's nice of you.
No, home plate needs a little bit of clay and some more dirt on it. But other than that, the field is fantastic. It's absolutely good. Fantastic.
So Maddux was like a young Michael Jordan working on his fielding and his hitting.
Hey, it's the quiet time, right?
It is the
It's all about the quiet time.
It's very, very true.
It's all about the work nobody sees. What we're doing.
I'm going to remind you of that when you and I are sitting, behind home plate at whatever stadium he's playing at the time. Be like, hey, the quiet time, it paid off. Look at your son out there playing second.
That's not why we're doing this, but I would love for that to be the case. Sure. That would be awesome.
And I say you and I, Willie and Marquise, they can come too.
Everybody will be invited, okay? if that were the case, but, you know, I'm
Willie's
not
like,
one of those
I
parents.
I remember when Maddux was just knee-high to a grasshopper.
Yeah, I just don't want to. I'm not going to be one of those parents. You know, my 8-year-old's playing baseball because he's going to be in the majors one day. Yeah, he's got like less than 1% chance of that actually happening. So, no, that's not me.
You tell
me
that
happens.
Chance.
Great, fantastic. We'll all sit behind home plate, watch and enjoy, and I'll be really old by then. But yeah, I'll enjoy it. But yeah, no, it's not about that. It's about just getting better. It's about doing a lot of work behind the scenes, and I think it's going to pay off. We've done a lot, and speaking of that, just to kind of – I've tried to paint the picture for you guys. There was a team on the field before we got there on Saturday, and there was a full team waiting for us when we got off the field on Saturday. So it's very clear everybody's back. I've talked to some other coaches, and they have started up team practices again. So – I decided to put it out yesterday that next weekend we're going to try a team practice. So we're going to try to do things the right way, separate them, put them in different dugouts and hand sanitizer and all that good stuff. But that's where everybody is. And I had to sit down and think about it for a good while and saw a bunch of Thursday when I was there. There were two teams waiting for us to get off the field. So, and they're already putting tournaments on the schedule. So I don't know if they're going to happen, but they are now starting to put tournaments on the schedule for the end of May and the beginning of June. Like I said, I don't know if they'll happen or not.
I'll tell you.
But they're putting them there.
Yeah, I'll tell you, our team has been communicating as well with these things, and we are going to start doing some small group workouts. We've got a lot of measures that we haven't had a practice yet, but we're starting to schedule accordingly, and they've solicited feedback from the parents, which I think is great, and that there are a lot of guidelines even for these workouts. We still don't know what's going on for games. I have different feelings. I feel like a small group, you know, as we phase back in, a small group of practice, I feel like is appropriate. I'm still not ready to think that we're ready to jump into games and tournaments with lots of people in a small area with a bunch of fields, interacting, swapping fields, swapping dugouts, all that stuff. I think we need to think about that a little bit more, especially if Major League Baseball is still not even on the field practicing yet. But I know everybody's anxious. It was disappointing, I thought. You know, there was a picture that was circulating around from one of the establishments where, you know, it was a picture of a full bar and people all in there. There was no masks, nothing. If that was an accurate picture, right, maybe if that was something that was snapped several months ago and somebody put it out there. So I don't want to mention the place, but you guys may have seen it. But, you know, that's my fear, right? I know we're so excited to get out there and open things up. And today's the first day that Nashville is into phase one. But I would just urge everybody to think about it, you know, and tell others, inform others that if we're going to do this, we got to do this smart or else we're going to have to go back. And nobody wants to go back to where we've been.
Yeah. Just play smart, people. Be smart. Don't pack the restaurants that may serve alcohol, like pictures I saw the other night on Twitter. Don't do that. Behave. Behave yourselves. That's all you have to do.
Do we feel like those pictures were accurate?
It's a good question. I don't know. I think so.
I mean, I didn't see a single mask in that picture.
Yeah, and it was packed. And people.
But where was it?
Cool Springs.
No, I know, but where?
Williamson County.
Was it at a bar?
Yes.
Yeah. That's what we've talked about.
Yeah, it was
right?
At a bar.
But that's what we've talked about. Like, it's going to be hard to convince people to go to a bar where you just sit there and drink and wear a mask. I mean, I understand that if you're going to go to a bar, we're not going to go, though, right? We're not going to go. If we feel like you're not going to wear the mask, then I'm not going to go. But if you're going to go to a bar, it's like, what do you do? I mean, with a mask on, you're just going to lift it up. I understand that. I don't know what the right thing to do is. Because what do? You just sit there and you just lift it up and down all night? I don't know. That's good luck trying to get everybody to do that. You know, and I've brought this to your all's attention before. Like, what are you going to do when the bars open back up and we think the right thing to do is to wear a mask, but you're just going there to drink with your buddies or drink with somebody, and all you're going to be doing is constantly, you know, a motion of picking something off the table and putting it to your mouth. And how does that work?
Right. But I was talking to my mom about this yesterday. Happy late Mother's Day to all the moms out there. But she brought up the fact, okay, if you go to a restaurant or a bar and you're just there to drink, even if you have a mask on, the more that you drink, you know, the less you're going to care about your mask. And eventually people are just going to take them off and put them in their pockets.
Of course. You know? No doubt. There's no doubt. And I've said it.
Every single person in the picture was not wearing a mask.
What
else? Like there was any mask sitting on the bar or anything. There were people sitting at tables near eating food, presumably. It was kind of shoulder to shoulder. It was not 50% capacity, nothing close to it. So I do wonder, I mean, before I sit there, that's why I'm not mentioning the name of the restaurant, because I don't want them to unfairly get ripped for a picture that may have been taken
a year ago,
for all I know. But
Willie, it's true. I've been telling you guys this for a week and a half now. I'm in Rutherford County. You're talking about Williamson County. Did I not get on here last Monday and tell you what I witnessed going around Rutherford County last weekend? Did I not say on this Monday show, it felt like everything was completely normal? That's what it's been doing. I know you don't get to see that because you're in East Nashville and things are different. But this has been going on. It didn't just happen this weekend. I was telling the same story last Monday. These other counties have been opened up. That's why I said it'll be interesting to see how the Mayor Cooper handles this, because all these prominent business owners are looking around going, all these surrounding counties, they're wide open, and we're just sitting here doing nothing, and they're going to apply the pressure, and they did. And here we are talking about phase one starting today in Davidson County. I hear you, and I understand. I also haven't gone to a restaurant to eat inside. We did takeout this weekend because I don't want to – honestly, I don't want to eat with a mask on. So if I'm not going to wear a mask, then I'm not going to go in. But I get it. I understand. I mean, you're there to eat. How do you eat with a mask on? You have to take it off. So I'm just not comfortable doing that, so I'm just going to continue to do takeout for a while.
But it's one thing to get creative trying to eat with a mask on. I understand that, but this picture was clearly nobody in the restaurant is paying any attention to distancing of
nobody
any
looked
kind.
Like they were
right,
eating.
It's one thing to not have a mask on. Yeah, right. There doesn't look like a whole lot of plates of food around, but you know you're supposed to be 6 feet away. You know how hard is that?
I feel like, unfortunately, and two parts of this. I believe we have to do a little trial and error to see, okay, how can we function with this, knowing that this virus is here, knowing that it's not going away yet. We haven't found the vaccine, but we do have to be able to function and live our lives. I get that. Totally understand it. So now you got to see the willpower of everyone. And you basically have to, we have to preach the message of let's be smart. Let's be smart about this because we don't want to have to go back to not doing anything.
Right.
Being
and
stuck
those
in
people
our house.
Ruin it for everybody else. Right.
Yes.
There.
Yes.
And that's probably the, you know, I always call that the loud minority, you know, and don't be that guy to bring up an old segment. Don't be that guy that screws it up for everyone else. If you're like me or you're like Darren, we have been very transparent and admitted that, you know what, if we have to wear a mask sitting in a restaurant and have to pull it up each time we take a bite, we're probably not going to do that. I'm going to be the one that says screw it and just take it off. So therefore, I'm staying in. I'm going to go get takeout. I've been fine for 2 months. I'm bored. I miss my friends. I miss going out to a bar. But guess what? If I have to endure that for a little bit longer to mean that this summer I could get to do that some, I could get to go out or – you know, we find a vaccine for this thing, then okay. So what I'll do, I look at it as I got the rest of my life to do that stuff.
But this is so far from common sense, this picture, if it's accurate, right? We've got to go in steps, right? I don't think anybody at this point is arguing, let's take a step forward. Let's go for it. But a step forward is different than opening the floodgates. Right, you don't start sprinting up the mountain and say, "Well, I'm going to get to the top of the mountain because we've been waiting at the bottom of the mountain for a long, long time here." So let's just full out sprint. We'll make it. I mean, you're setting yourself up for failure, and we're going to have to go back. You got to pace yourself. Let's get to the first marker. Let's set up camp. Let's stay there for a little bit. Then we'll go to the second marker and we'll work our way up the mountain. But this is, I mean, where's the management? Where's somebody with some common sense in there to say, "Hey, you know what? There's not a single person in here that's sick. I can't see two people that are six that are within 2 feet of the next person in this, let alone six. It's not even close."
Yeah, my guess is they were young. That would be my guess.
You would be correct.
A young demo. And if you've been out like I have, the young demo, they really aren't that interested in all this. That's been my observation. They're just really not that interested in all this, Willie. And what you're saying is spot on, but the younger demo, I go in places where I'm the oldest person in there and I'm the only person wearing a mask. It's just the younger demo, there's just a lot of them. And I'm not boxing them all in there, but that's been my observation is a lot of the younger crowd, they're just really not that interested in all this. Mm-hmm. They're over it. That's been my observation. I'm not painting the picture of everybody who's young. That's just my observation of what I've seen.
I don't think you're wrong.
What's weird, though, is I see one picture being circulated. Like, I would think there would be more than one picture, so I'm still curious about the origin of this. But I think even if I didn't see a picture and you told me somewhere or several places that people had ignored the guidelines, I would not have been the least bit surprised. There's too many people that have either disregarded everything or just can't control themselves. I don't know what the motivation is, but I feel like that's going to set everybody back. It's going to set our whole society back.
Here's my thing. This is the classic, okay, you know you're doing wrong and you're not doing what you're supposed to do. Why the hell are you incriminating yourself and putting it on social media?
Because they don't care. That's what I'm saying. They don't care. They're not interested in. That's my whole point. They're not interested in any of this. They don't care.
Fake news. That's what they're saying.
I mean, I'm just saying. That's been my observation. There's the reason there's no awareness is because they don't care. they're not on board. They're not interested in any of this. So that I'm not surprised. And like I said, I don't want to paint that picture for all younger demo, but I'm just saying my observation. I've been out and about, you know, because we are in areas, Willie, unlike you, that it's been a lot more looking like normal than not here, you know, in the last week and a half, 2 weeks. And that's been my observation is the reason of that is because they don't care.
Yeah, it's true. It's sad, but true, as Metallica
said. There is no guilt because they don't have any guilt. When you say, why would they put it on social media? Because they don't care.
These kids today.
All right, we will come back. Teron Davenport, let's talk with TD on the other side. Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase on this Monday morning. Hope everybody's having a good start to your week. Let's talk with TD. Teron Davenport, NFL Nation reporter for ESPN and ESPN.com. He covers the Titans, and he's a regular on the show, and he joins us now. Teron, what's up?
Nothing much, man. Marquise took me back to last night, the last dance, with that music, you know, that KRS-One Rapture. I appreciate that leading.
Let me tell you this. Marquise is digging that soundtrack to the last dance.
Yeah, I am too.
I am too.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it is. It definitely brings back memories. There's no doubt about that. By the way, let's get your quick thoughts. What have you thought through 8 episodes? Just 2 more to go.
I absolutely love it. It's great. And even, you know, I grew up a Knicks fan. I had to, you know, disbar them. I got rid of them since. But growing up a Knicks fan and seeing some of those, you know, like last night they showed Scotty dunk on Patrick Ewing and then tell Spike Lee to sit down, you know, that kind of rubbed me the wrong way, but it's all good, man. I love the documentary. It's been great, and I like getting that inside look at Michael Jordan, like how they ended the 7th chapter last night, you know, with him talking about how he competed, and he showed his hands, and they were all jacked up, and, you know, tears started to well up, and his voice started to break. I love being able to see the passion, you know, that people have for the game. And it's just something that, you know, if you have it, you really appreciate it when you see someone else with it.
By the way, when he did raise his hands, I thought the same thing. I was like, that looks like an offensive lineman's fingers. Just all jacked up. I mean, where you can point to, you know, 4-3 different directions with one finger. These athletes.
Willie knows, man. You know, you play basketball, and thank goodness I didn't play it all the time, you know, and at the level that Willie did. But he knows, man, his jammed fingers are a regular occurrence.
Oh, yeah, and the fingernail getting separated from the tip fingertip, you know, the ball just catches you the wrong way. Yeah, just part of it.
Logan Ryan said the Titans really never tried to even bring him back. What did you make of Logan Ryan saying goodbye last week? It was very clear when we had Christian Fulton on and I announced he's going to be number 26. And, of course, the signing of Jonathan Joseph, it looked like the writing was absolutely on the wall at that point that there was not going to be a Logan Ryan. What did you make of – let's just start with what did you make of his comments?
Yeah, I actually got to hear that last night on the podcast there with Devin and Jason McCourty. And I thought it was really interesting. It's unfortunate, but like you said, it is a business. I thought it was pretty cool how he went back to them and said, hey, you know, I want to finish what I started. I am willing to come back on a one-year deal. I just want what I made last season, and it still didn't happen. So that tells me that Jonathan Joseph, I find it hard to believe that he's anywhere near $10 million for this one-year deal that he's with them. So I think it's just unfortunate. I just cannot believe that he's still on the market because, despite what a lot of people think, I feel he's a very good cornerback, and he's someone that could help a team.
$10 million a year good?
I feel like as if, yes, $10 million a year, especially if you're a team. I think a team like the Lions would be awesome, you know, for him to come in and be a mentor to Okuda and also help implement that whole Patriots mindset, you know what I mean, that their coach, Matt Patricia, bought from New England. I think he would be an awesome locker room guy for them. And there's an assortment of teams, honestly.
Why don't you think he's been signed to this point? I mean, we're in mid-May. Why do you think he hasn't found a home?
Well, you know what? He said it last night. He said that he had a few multi-year deals, you know, but he just was not 100% feeling them. So that tells me that it's partially him wanting to go to the right situation, and that right situation hasn't come his way. And obviously, COVID-19, like, it has affected us, it affected him, and it affects everybody on the planet. So I think that has a lot to do with it.
Jeffrey Simmons had his moments. A.J. Brown had more moments just because he was out on the field more. What rookie, how would you answer this? What rookie has the best chance of being the most impactful next season?
I think it's going to be Christian Fulton. And it's just funny the way this team, for the second time in a row, found the best player of their draft class in the second round. And Fulton, he's going to come in. I feel like he'll be an excellent nickel corner. I talked to Corey Raymond on Talking with TD last week, and he talked about how he's a guy that really fits that position, how he could run the vertical routes. He said that they put him on some of the faster receivers to run those vertical routes with him last year. So I think that's a good thing. I feel like he'll come in and be a competitor, right, and contribute. And I think just playing at LSU, you know, that place that I think right now is DBU. You know, Ohio State is close, but I think it's LSU. And I think coming from that grooming station for defensive backs, he's going to be an immediate contributor.
Overall, what jumped out to you on the Titans' schedule?
On the schedule, I'd probably say it's great that they got the three primetime games, but I thought it's interesting how many young quarterbacks they're playing. And that's something I put in my schedule post. Josh Allen, say what you want, he's still a young quarterback, and he had his team in the playoffs. Obviously, Lamar Jackson, the reigning MVP. You look at Drew Locke and what he has up there in Denver. I think that's a good factor. There are a couple other young. I mean, they're going to face the number one draft pick in Joe Burrow's, and then and then they'll face Baker Mayfield as well. And let's see how Stefanski could keep that thing going in the right direction with Mayfield and Odell Beckham Jr. and Jarvis Landry. So I think it's the young guns getting to face them.
Boy, excellent observation. That you know, there's so many ways to look at it, for sure, and it's a long way off. I think about the very first game, Teron, and we were debating this. I guess the odds came out, and the Titans are an underdog to the Denver Broncos, a team that on paper seems like it's, you know, restructuring, somewhat rebuilding. They weren't very good last year. But it just shows you how much of a toss-up some of these games are, even though, you know, like you're saying, they're going to be facing a young quarterback, but barring a huge change. We don't know what the situation's even going to be in the stands. But, you know, on paper, in a lot of our minds, you know, I heard Darren and Chase use the word should win. But when they're an underdog in the first game, that tells you that there's so little difference between teams that were in the AFC Championship game last year and a team like the Broncos that basically went nowhere last year.
Yeah, it does tell you there's really little difference. And, I mean, it really comes down to who catches fire towards it. And I thought it was interesting that they are an underdog. I think basically what they're saying is on neutral ground, it's a push because the Titans are getting 3 points in this case. And, you know, 3 points typically goes to the home team. But it tells you what people think of this Titans team. And I think they're right where they want to be, whereas they're not the darling. They're not the team that everyone's picking. They're not the team that everyone expects to win. But they know full well their style of play going in, making it into a backyard fight, is going to keep them in the game and chances are give them a chance to win it.
I want to come back to your article with Logan Ryan for just a second. He said Tennessee, this was, I guess, a quote of his on the McCourty's podcast, Tennessee never really offered me a contract. They never really talked extension or free agency. They never really tried to bring me back. And then coupled with your interaction with him, Teron, I do wonder about this scenario, right? Because this is a unique offseason, to say the least. If he's still sitting there in another month or two and he hasn't gotten what he's wanted. There's not a situation he's interested in. And the Titans, let's just say, for example, they don't get Jadeveon Clowney, and they have some money sitting around, and the price drops. I'm just wondering why they shut the door between the two of them. That's curious to me, because Logan Ryan is a guy that can help a team. And I would do everything I could if I were John Robinson to keep the door open.
You know, honestly, I think, and I'm not saying this is the case, but I think they feel what they're going to get from Jonathan Joseph will give them what they would have gotten from Logan Ryan as far as that veteran in the locker room. I think at the same time, that hybrid of Amani Hooker, Christian Fulton, Adoree Jackson, and even Dane Cruikshank as the nickel, I think they feel that whole combination is going to work for them. And I don't think they wanted to wait around. I think they made that decision early on in the process, because also in that article, it quotes Logan Ryan, who said that they told him that they probably weren't going to be able to afford him, and they had other guys that they needed to bring back. I mean, Logan Ryan was one of those 20 expiring contracts. So when they say they have other guys they wanted to bring back, that pretty much is saying from the jump, he's not in their future plans. So it's just one of those things where they wanted to get cheaper. They felt like they got faster, with Fulton and younger with Fulton. So that was the move.
Tell us the difference, if any, of the role that Jonathan Joseph will play. Obviously, he's older. He's at a different stage of his career. We feel like it's a given that he's got the intangibles. Just to make it in this league this long, you have to be offering things beyond just what your playing ability is. But specifically where he fits in the defensive scheme, where is that in your mind? What is the role, Teron?
I think he's going to be an outside corner. And to be honest with you, in my opinion, the day one starting trio is going to be, and I say trio because you know teams use three receiver personnel so much. So I say trio, and I imagine it being Malcolm Butler and Jonathan Joseph on the outside and Adoree Jackson on the inside. Now, of course, they'll rotate. As I said, Fulton's going to be a contributor. But I think that's where Joseph is going to fit in. And that's something I asked him, because he's a guy that came into the league known as a speed corner, right? He ran a 4.31, so the dude had plenty of speed. He still feels like he has that speed, but I asked him how he's adapted, and one of the things that he said was being better with route recognition and understanding things, and I think that's really good to have a veteran guy. They absolutely had to have a veteran guy like Jonathan Joseph or Logan Ryan in that locker room to help Christian Fulton make that transition, and to be with him and help him understand the route combos. You know, a guy like Joseph is known as a locker room leader, as a locker room presence, and he's starting to ingratiate himself in that way in some of these Zoom meetings that they're having. But the good thing was he's learning from others too. So it just adds to the group. I think that's how he'll fit in both in the locker room as well as on the field.
Teron Davenport is with us from ESPN. And, TD, I had the chance on Friday night as a part of our game night to talk to a former Titans fullback, Lorenzo Neal. And, you know, Lo Neal is all about making fullbacks great again and making them have a prominent role in the NFL. But the Titans last year signed Kari Blasingame as that fullback, H-back kind of player, and we saw how much of an impact that he had. So how much does a guy like that change the offense, so to speak, or add more of a weapon to the offense? And what do you expect out of Blasingame this year?
I expect him to have a Kyle Juszczyk type of role if you watch what the 49ers did with him as their fullback. I think even looking back to the Raiders game where he had a couple of nice catches, one down the field, a jumping catch, that was a really good reception that he had. And he's someone that gives them a weapon out of the backfield. And the thing that I like about him from a receiving standpoint is he carries on that theme that just seems to be something with all of the Titans pass catchers, ability to get yards after the catch. And they are very hard to tackle. You saw with Jonnu Smith, we don't have to mention the yak monster, A.J. Brown, and then Corey Davis does a solid job of that. And obviously, Humphreys gets free yards, but I think Blasingame adds to that.
So now he's another person that can help you out in the passing game. And then he's not a bad fullback. And the thing that's interesting with him is you could even give him the ball at times if you want to do that, you know, like those fullback traps or those type of things. So he gives you just another weapon in the overall picture. And I think for Arthur Smith, that's all he could ask for, is to have an assortment of weapons. And he showed that he does a good job of getting everybody involved.
Teron, you and I on Chasing TD on Friday nights during football season, you have a very good relationship with the coaching staff, and we talk a lot about, you know, their evolution and how much that they have grown, Vrabel going into year three. But what are you expecting out of Art Smith, the second-year offensive coordinator for this team, and how do you see the offense evolving now that he has a lot of the main pieces that are going to be back for the second consecutive year?
I think you're going to continue to see a reliance on Derrick Henry and the running game, but I think you're going to see a little more creativity and just some ways to stretch the field off of that. So I expect to see more than just Khalif Raymond running those post routes off of play action. I think they're going to find ways to really get Adam Humphries involved, because right now, you know, he's their cash cow, you know, at the receiver position. He's the guy that they have the most money in. But overall, I just expect to see more explosiveness and creativity. And I think when you get a guy like Arthur Smith, you give him time to just sit down and look at some things. And I've had conversations with him. He's very creative, and he has a lot of things in his mind that he wants to get onto the field. So I think you're going to see that.
Speaking of Derrick Henry, and we've had this conversation before, of now that the draft is done, now that free agency, for the most part, is done, you just now have to work through your draftees' contracts. Could you see more movement on a Derrick Henry deal in the coming weeks before we get into June?
I think they will have more movement. It's something that John Robinson said, that their focus is now turning towards that and some of the other things that they're working to do to construct the roster. So I think Robinson is, you know, a man of his word. So I would imagine that they would be working towards getting that deal done. They know Derek wants to be there. They want Derek there, so I could see that happening.
Teron, good stuff as always. Appreciate it. Enjoy the beautiful weather today.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I appreciate it. And, you know, just want to give a shout-out to my guy Calvin. It's Calvin Smith. He's moved on, and it was great having him as my producer. But I got another homie in Elijah Campbell, so I'm looking forward to it.
Very nice. We are very happy for Calvin Smith. He is way too smart to be with us, so he has moved on. He's going to take that brain somewhere else and help out Nashville SC, so we're really happy for him. Teron, thanks for saying that, and good to talk to you. Have a great week.
Yes, sir. You guys do the same.
All right, Talking with TD, that is his podcast. Check it out. It's really good stuff, and, of course, he joins us here on a regular basis on Darren, Donick, and Chase. We'll come back more here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll talk to Sean Salisbury to kick off the second hour of the program, and I'm glad Teron brought that up, because we do want to throw out a hearty congrats to Calvin Smith, who we got to know working at 102.5 The Game, did some work with our show, but Calvin's a smart young man. Got to spend even more time with him down at the Winter Classic in Dallas. And he's currently in grad school at Georgia Tech, trying to get his master's. And he wants to get into analytics. And I think he is going to be doing that now for Nashville SC, which hopefully is inching a little bit closer to getting resuming play in the MLS. So we're very, very happy for him. It's we're happy that he's doing what he wants to do, and we really enjoyed being around him in the time he was at the game.
Oh, yeah. I'm so proud of Calvin.
And Chase, you spent a lot more time around him than even we did, so you can speak even more to it.
Yeah, I mean, he was, you know, and I try and do this with a lot of our young talent and producers. You know, he's kind of one of those that took him under my wing, like a lot of people, like you two did for me. And it's just, you know, it was fun to watch him grow. We did a Sunday morning show together during football before I turned the reins over to Elijah and Calvin, and they ran with it. They had a Saturday show together. Calvin worked with Teron and I on Chasing TD, and as Teron mentioned on the Talking with TD podcast. And it was, you know, I always tell interns, and Calvin was an intern, or young producers. I mean, there are a couple different ways you can go about this. You can live up to the job description and just do it that way, or you can, you know, go out and above and beyond. And Calvin was one of those above and beyond kind of guys. And, you know, he would show up and have ideas and look up information. You know, you brought up how smart he is and the analytics stuff. I mean, he taught me a lot about that. And you know, we'd give him
that's not easy to do.
Not at all. And we'd give him a hard time about running backs and have fun debates. But he'll be missed here. But I'm so proud of him, and I'm glad that he's getting to work with Nashville SC, a great organization, and do something that he's really passionate about. So it'll be cool to watch, as you guys used to call me, Baby Bird grow.
Don't forget Baby
Bird. Yeah, I tell you, that to me is exciting, is when people either move on and move up to something bigger or better by putting in the work when they get an opportunity at the low level at a place like ours. And then, you know, Chase, you and Ryan, as we've said many times before, moving up within the ranks here in our organization, that gives me a great feeling. I like that. That means we're doing quality work, right? If we're moving people up within, or people are being recognized outside our organization for the work they're doing. I think Calvin's going to do great, as you guys have been mentioning. I think back to last summer when he did those series of analysis. You know, he broke down all of those free agents. You know, we were just talking about Logan Ryan and all the contracts that were expiring, and he was assigning values based on, you know, hours of crunching numbers and looking at the actual value of what they did on the field. I knew that was going to lead to something, and so it's great to see that paid off for him.
Just remember, Calvin, I'm the one who picked up your tab in Dallas. Don't ever forget that, although you may have already forgot it. You know, Jimmy Shapiro, what our friend. Inside joke.
we'll do
actually, it's not a joke.
Honor.
Actually, it's not a joke.
Lemon drops in your honor.
But it was a little inside. Jimmy Shapiro, our friend, has put out odds to every week of the NFL season, guys. He's got every game.
Oh, my.
And the odds. So I'm going to start generically, and then we're going to do a little deeper dive. There is one team that is favored in all 16 games. Name that team.
Kansas City.
Kansas City
favored
is the guess.
All 16.
Willie.
I'll just be different and say Baltimore.
One of you is correct. It's Baltimore.
Really?
Baltimore is favored in all 16 games. Kansas City is only favored in 14, and they're an underdog in two of them. New Orleans is favored in 14, but the other two are pick'em games. San Francisco's favored in 13. One game they're an underdog. Two of them are pick'ems. So how about that? Tampa Bay is favored in 12 games. Three games they're underdogs. One game they're a pick'em. Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
Yeah, Tom Brady.
A lot of belief.
And now
belief in
the
Tampa,
Bucks
for sure.
are favored in 12 games. And one of them.
Some of that would have to
pick-em.
Do with the schedule.
Sure. Well, they get a lighter. Right. They're going to get supposedly an easier schedule because of how poorly they finished last year. Okay. With that being said, one team is an underdog in all 16 games. Name that team.
An underdog in all 16.
Jags
Bengals. Is the guess. Bengals, locked in. One of you is correct. Jags, underdogs.
What?
In
one
all
and one.
16 games. Cincinnati is an underdog in 14 games. One game is a pick'em, and one game they are actually favored. Must be against Jacksonville. Carolina is favored.
Did they play Jacksonville?
How about this? The Carolina Panthers are favored in two games on the schedule. Underdogs in 13, one game is a pick'em. Giants are favored in one game, 12 games, they're underdogs, and three games, they're pick'em. Washington is favored in two games, 13 games, they're the underdog, and one game, they're a pick'em. So they've identified Jacksonville, Cincinnati, Carolina, the Giants and the Redskins as the worst teams in the league. Okay.
Wow. And the Giants and Redskins play each other, each other twice.
That's correct. Maybe that's
wow.
It's got to be one of the pick 'em games, right?
I would think.
I guess. Or each is favored over the other when they're at home.
Right. So let's do this. Now we can do a little bit deeper dive. We've already seen the line for the Titans-Broncos game, the Monday night game. The Titans are a 2.5-point underdog to the Broncos on that Monday night game. By the way, the Steelers are a 3-point favorite over the Giants. So let's go on and skip forward because we haven't seen the lines to any other game. So let's look at some of the Titans games. We know in week two, they are home against the Jags. What's the line on that game?
Say 6.5.
6.5. Willie.
You know, I was exactly going to say that. So I'll just go 7.5 to go over.
I think you guys are all over it. I would have said about the same thing. 11.
So here's why I didn't go that high, just because
11. It's the highest spread in his odds for week two.
Yeah. I mean, in my mind, I was thinking it could be around 11 or 12 or 13.5, something like that. But it's an NFL line, so you don't see that a ton. And it's hard to predict week two. But so I just took the safe bet and went around 6.5. So 11, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. How about that? Gosh, how about this? In week three, the Dolphins are at Jacksonville. Miami's favored by a point. How bad is Jacksonville? They're at home against the Dolphins, and the Dolphins are favored. Okay.
If the rookies are any good, the Dolphins
should
be all right. I don't think they're a bad, bad team. I think they should rise to that 6, 7, 8 level of wins, possibly, anyway.
Mm-hmm. So week three, the Titans travel to Minnesota to their new home. That'll be their first appearance in the Vikings' new place. What is the line on that game?
Willie, go first.
Wait, who's week three again? I didn't pull the
Titans
schedule.
At Vikings.
At Vikings, I will say the Vikings favored by 4.5.
I'm going to say a field goal. Vikings,
you guys are all over it. 3.5.
Okay.
Vikings by 3.5.
So far we've been hovering.
Yeah.
Well, we missed it pretty bad.
I would say you really weren't hovering in the Jacksonville game. I would have said around, I would have been in the 6.5, 7.5 range with you guys. I wouldn't have gone to 11. By the way, the Chiefs and the Ravens are the Monday night game. Ravens are favored by 2 in week 3 at home. Packers at the Saints. Sunday night game, Saints by 5.5.
Sounds about right.
Yep. All right, week 4. Titans are at home against the Steelers.
I will say Titans by 1.5.
Let me say this as we unveil these today, and I completely understand why we're doing it. I'm having fun doing this. But if you're actually calling Jimmy and placing a bet today before you even know who the Steelers quarterback is going to be,
well, you can.
You might have a problem.
You could.
I mean,
I know you can.
You could.
I'm just saying that
you might
ought to consider the, the level that you're into this if you're actually doing that.
I will slightly disagree with you. This is where the sharks, Willie, not the sharps. The sharps identify lines that are way off.
Yeah.
And they pounce on early lines.
Yeah.
Like this. This is, they look at something and they go, that line's way off. There's going to be a huge adjustment. And so they jump on them now.
We know somebody, Darren, that has probably looked at these a lot.
Oh, I know several people that have looked at these now and put bets on them now.
Yeah.
So Titans hosting the Steelers week 4.
I think the Titans should be a significant favorite in this game. I'll say 4.5. I think slightly more than the regular adjustment for home field.
I would have said 3.5. Titans by 2. It was a little bit lower than I thought.
I think you got to
win that game. I keep thinking about Tim Hasselbeck's assessment of Ben Roethlisberger. I just don't know that he's going to be back at all, or at least back at the level that we're used to seeing him. That's the key. That's the key to everything, right? Who's there? Yeah. What kind of Ben Roethlisberger are we going to see?
Titans are at home the following week to the Bills. So the Titans host the Bills. What do we got?
Ooh, that one's tough.
I'm going to say Titans by 1.5.
Yeah, that seems right. You know what? Pick them.
Titans by 2.
Titans by 2.
See, I would never have the Bills game and the Steelers game as the same line.
Yeah.
Here. I would have the Bills more. I could see the 2. I would have had the Steelers more like 3.5, 4, Titans favorite. I'm a little surprised that line's that low. Okay. Titans remain home, so they have 3 straight home games. They host the Texans. Week 6.
Houston by, Titans by 3.
I'll say Titans by 4.
4.5. Well done. Week 7. Titans will finally, wait a minute, is that their?
That's the bye.
That's the bye week. Okay, that's what I thought.
Titans by 14.
Week 8, they return from the bye week on the road at Cincinnati.
At Cincinnati.
Coming off a bye week.
I'll say the Titans favored by 3.5.
I will say Titans by 6.5.
One of you has nailed it. Titans by 3.5.
3.5. Okay.
Week 9. Let's see. They are back home hosting the Bears.
That's a tricky team to try to figure out, is the Bears. So I will come out strong and say Titans right at 3.5.
I feel like the 4.5 pick has been the closest, so I'll go with that. Titans by 4.5.
Titans by 3.
Titans by 3.
Titans by 3. Okay, week 10 is the Thursday game here versus the Colts. Thank God. No more Thursday Jags-Titans. Hosting the Colts week 10, Thursday night.
Titans barely. A half a point?
A half.
I don't know. They do that sometimes.
I'll say one. I'll say Titans by 1.5.
Titans by 2.5. Kind of low. These are low lines. Low home lines, too. They're like 2, 2.5. All their games at home. All right. Week 11, they are
at Baltimore.
At Baltimore. That's right. That is the Ravens game. So they're at Baltimore. What's the line on that?
Ravens by 3.5.
I'll say Ravens by 5.5.
Ravens by 8.
Ooh. Now, see, that's
Ravens
one that I would.
Ravens by 8.
I would take the high. Titans right now. I would take that 8 points and be perfectly fine with it.
Yeah, I don't think that game will go off at 8, but we also don't know the circumstances, right? We don't know
a lot's gonna
who's up, who's down. Right. And that's another thing. I mean, you can identify these things and take your chances and hope for the best, right?
It's a gamble.
Sure, I see what you did there. Week 12, Titans in Indy versus the Colts.
Indy by 2.5.
Let's see, the Colts were favored. The Titans were favored over the Colts at home by, I think, 2.5. So I'll say the Colts would be favored Titans by 2.5 up there.
Okay, then I'll say Indy by 2.
Colts by 3. Colts by 3. Week 13, the Titans are
Cleveland at home.
They've got the whole – I've got to sift through it. So they're home against Cleveland. They're favored by 3. Week 14, tell me the matchup.
Jacksonville. Chase. At Jacksonville.
At Jacksonville. They are favored. Titans are favored by 5. Week 15.
Detroit at
home. Titans by 6 at home versus the Lions. In week 16, they're on the road.
At Houston. Green Bay.
No, at Green Bay. Oh, that's okay. At Green Bay, Packers by 4. That's the Sunday night game. And then finally, week 17.
At Houston.
Texans by 1.
That seems about right.
Texans by 1. Okay.
That's fun.
There you go. Yeah. That was fun to do that now because, we should save those lines and look back and see how close or how far off they were. We'll come back. Let's head to Houston. Let's talk to Sean Salisbury to kick off the second hour. That's next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.